Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to the big show. I am Jerry O'Lennon. It's Wednesday. It means Gidi Hansen, licensed marriage and family therapist with The Growing Place, is in today. Good morning, Gidi.
Good morning.
I've been having a really good time learning about different things that we need to give up in our lives in order to have happy lives. And they're all very good, and we're guilty of all of them to some degree.
Oh yes.
Although some of them I will go and I'll say, okay, that's not me. But some of them I go,
you know, the
that's
ones
me.
I can look at and say that's not me. I'd add the word now.
Right.
But at some point I've done all of these.
Yeah, like the one that sticks to my mind, limiting beliefs.
Yes.
As a young person, my beliefs were limited. As I got older, surprisingly for me, my beliefs opened up and became more expansive. To me, happiness could only exist if I became a sportscaster in a television station somewhere where I was going to sporting events and I was a big sport. If I didn't make that in my life, I would never be happy.
But you did make that.
I did make that. But you know what?
That was a huge goal.
That was a goal. But it didn't necessarily always make me happy. You know?
Yes.
I mean, it made
yes.
me happy for a period of time. But then I realized, boy, wait a minute. I could do this. I could do that. There's a lot of other things in life that could make you happy. But that, for me, that was the one when at a stage in life. We were going through them real quickly, complaining. Of course, as you get older now, sometimes you dwell in the past. I find myself doing that a little bit. So I got to snap out of it. Snap out of it, you know? Worrying about the future. You do that when you're young.
You can do that anytime,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, you can. And that you got to snap out of, too.
Yeah.
The need for others' approval. Different stages in life. I've seen that. The need to always be right. For me, that hasn't been one, but that would be a really difficult one to live with.
That's hard. Yeah.
I would hate that.
Yeah.
Negative self-talk, that's a tough one too. And that brings us to number 8 on our top 10, resisting change.
Yes. And here's the ironical thing about change. When people will tell me, I hate change, even good change. I don't like any kind of change. The fact of the matter is, as we sit here talking to each other, everything is changing. I'm changing, my fingernails are growing, my hair is growing, I'm aging, the sun, you know, the earth is rotating and it's revolving, and we're in constant motion, we're in constant change. So the idea here is to resist change is really very unrealistic because life is full of changes. I'm not a little baby anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the 20-year-old somebody I used to be. I can sit here and resist change, I'd still change will happen.
Change happens, and when you accept it, here's a great example for me. I think it's a great example. Recently, my wife and I bought a new car. Bought her a new car. She needed one. She drove her old car, which I got her for our wedding, into the ground. Just a great wife. She just says, I'm going to run it into the ground. We needed a new car. So we bought this car, new car, and we took it home. Assuming that there was a CD player in it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make...
I know. I have a new car, too.
No CD player.
No, everything's going electronic.
So I'm like, we got to take this car back. There's no CD player. How could they not even tell us there's not a CD player in it? And the salesman says, we'll take the car back. You know, we like you guys. We'll take the car back, but you need to know...
Was it a Toyota?
No, it's a Honda.
Honda, okay.
And they said, by the year 2020, 10% of cars will have CD players in them. We'll put one in for you if you want. And so we said, you know what? We got to accept the change. We have to accept that the changes happen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Kelly said, you know, I love not having all these clunky CDs in my car. I just download video onto her phone or whatever, plugs it in, it sounds great, and everything's Jake. And I'm like, okay, you have to accept change. And so many people, and I use that as probably one of my favorite examples as to where it was just thrust upon you. Sometimes change is just thrust upon you and you have to make adjustments. So resisting that kind of change would have made for our family and my wife's new vehicle would have made her very unhappy.
Yes.
Which you would have been really unhappy with that car. But she embraced the change and said, there's something good about this.
Exactly.
There's a reason that everybody else is doing this. There must be something good to it. And she says, gosh, I don't have any CDs in my car. I got a lot more room in my car. It's great.
It's wonderful. I went through the exact same thing. I'm driving my new car away, and I went, wait a minute, where's the CD player?
Same story.
And they said by 2020, you will not even recognize what a car is.
Right.
The changes that are coming. And they said no 2017 models, and this was a Toyota, have CD players. And they did not offer to put one in for me.
Right. Well, they would have put one in, but it would have cost.
Yeah, it would have cost. And so now I've discovered Pandora, and I'm listening to all kinds of music that I don't usually listen to, and it's expanded my horizons, and it always surprises me what comes up. And
yeah, now that's more or less, that example, I think, is more of on a superficial level, just about a CD player.
But it tells you something about us as habitual creatures and our expectations. But think about this, Jerry. People who are really, 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 really happy don't want things to change. It's a double-edged sword.
I could see that.
It's like when you're on vacation and everything just seems to be so right. And just go, oh, I wish I could. This could be the rest of my life. You know?
Right.
This is so wonderful. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. People who are really unhappy and people who are really, really happy, how they view change can be very different.
We'll continue our discussion with Gidi of Hansen of The Growing Place, a licensed marriage and family therapist. We'll give you the contact information for that organization if you want to get some help yourself with some issues you may have right after the break. And continue talking about how necessary it is to stop resisting change. And why it's important to maybe give you a happy life. Can we come back?
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
A personal privilege here. One more anecdote about resisting change. I remember back in the 80s, must have been 89, 90 or so, it just started making what we trash pickup was. You had to have recycled items. This was like, it was all new to me.
I remember that.
And I remember that the trash guy came, and it used to have like red bins and blue bins for papers, and now it's different.
Yes.
But back then,
yes.
And I remember I was so irritated at this. I was in my house in Las Vegas. I was like, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. Trash is trash. I'm putting it in one trash. So I paid the guy $20. I said, here, you take these baskets because I want nothing to do with them. I'm just putting them all in one trash can. You know, I always refused to accept that change because I thought it was just such of a burden. Over time, I began to say, you know, that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And now I do everything but put a bow on my trash when I put it in. I've accepted the change and said, yeah, this kind of makes sense. I'm willing to accept this. Same thing happens with people with plastic bags. You know, gosh, you know, we go buy our groceries. We have these. It makes sense. I'm willing to accept that makes sense, but the idea to resist it initially is almost always the case, isn't it? With
very
a lot
often,
of us,
very often, and you know, some people say I even resist good change, and good change even can be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
You marry the person you love, and now you're married, and you're so stressed.
Mm-hmm.
You move into the house you've always wanted, and now you're unpacking the boxes, and there's all these changes, and it creates stress in us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we need to do is learn how to manage change in a healthy way, in a positive way, instead of resist it. Some change is just devastating, like a diagnosis from the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That nobody wants to hear.
And we're all going to have to deal with that change.
Something, death itself, is the ultimate change. Aging, you know, it's sad. You hear this old expression, mutton dressed like lamb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to capture those days of our youth. We think if we wear the miniskirt or whatever, it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to accept the fact that our bodies are changing.
That's hard.
You know, I look at the positive side. Jerry, I don't want to go back one day. I don't want to be 20-something again. Are you kidding me? And you know, I wish I had known then what I know now.
Oh.
I would have been a lot happier.
Mm-hmm.
But who wants to go back? Not me.
Right.
I'm glad where I am right now.
Yeah. Although I think some of us might look back and say, wish I could go back and make a different decision. You don't think so? I mean, if you made a decision which was a poor decision, would you ever think, you know what, if I were to do it over again, I would have treated this person better. I would have treated.
If I could have done it over again is different than if I could go back.
Okay. Yeah.
I've had those if I could do it over again thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically learning from my mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, benefiting from that, and others around me will benefit. But the idea of going back, and that's why I love these movies about time travel, where they go back to change something.
Yeah.
And then you realize it's changing everything, and everything's affecting everything.
Right.
And you have all this unintentional change.
Right. Yeah, we think about that movie La La Land, which you've seen twice now, and you loved it, and about whether or not you could go back in time and make changes in your life. And it's a very poignant film. The last 10 minutes of the film is very poignant, very difficult. For me personally, it was very difficult to watch. It was very, it hit some nerves. And I think that but we're kind of getting off topic. Resisting change, that's a big word, resisting. We're not talking about accepting change. I mean, it's hard to accept sometimes getting older. I can understand. I don't want to accept that I'm getting older, that it's harder for me to walk up the stairs. I don't want to accept that I'm getting gray hair, or I'm losing my hair, or I'm getting paunchy in the stomach, or this could be for anybody. I don't want to accept it. But resisting it is more than that.
Yes, it is. And you know, you don't have to accept it, because there are things you can do. You're not powerless.
Right.
You can do something about the paunchy and and whatever. I just read a fascinating article yesterday from Medscapes about, they used to think that cancer was associated and Alzheimer's was associated with aging, and now they're finding it's more associated with lifestyle and especially dietary choices.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not necessarily aging.
Right.
And there are things we're attributing to aging that may not be so if people make different choices.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes when we talk about resisting change, particularly when we're talking about, I think we're talking about age right now, but we'll talk about some other things in the final segment. But just to put the bow on this, the resisting change are things that sometimes we can't control.
Exactly.
We can't control that we're going to get old.
We can make the best of it, but we can't stop it.
I mean, it's getting old is better than the alternative, which is dying.
Like a Woody Allen line.
Yeah, I love Woody Allen. Yeah. There's a lot of those. Well, I don't know where I was going there with that, but I guess accepting and resisting are two different things, I guess, is where I was going to.
And there's some things, that maybe we shouldn't accept. I'm trying to remember the name of that Latina singer in the 80s who was in a car accident.
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
She broke her back, and she was told she'll never walk again and never dance again and whatever, and she totally rejected that.
Uh-huh.
And she did all of her physical therapy and occupational therapy, and she prayed, and she was back on the stage, dancing and prancing and singing. So sometimes it's good not to accept the change.
We'll take a break and wrap things up after this break.
KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Well, sometimes change is thrust upon you, and sometimes change is maybe pursued. Sometimes we pursue change.
Yes.
And so sometimes it's a good idea to change. And so we need to make a change here.
Yes, definitely. Change can be very growth-inducing.
That is talking. Gidi Hansen, a licensed marriage and family therapist with The Growing Place. Their number is 588-0448. If you want to make an appointment with Gidi or some of their other therapists, you can do so, 588-0448. You could also go to tgplace.org. We've been talking about the 10 things you have to give up to be happy. And number 8 on the list is resisting change.
And I see the link between that and the rigid mindset.
Mm-hmm.
The rigid mindset says nothing can change.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to be the way I need it to be, or I say that it is.
But some people would say, I don't want to change. I mean, I'm happy. I don't want to change anything. I want
them
just
they're still going to change whether they want to or not, but maybe they can hold on to something and the change will be in the direction of growth and improvement.
Or something different. You mentioned earlier in the show about how about a vacation. I was thinking because, you know, I'm going on a vacation to Lake Tahoe and there's this cove in Tahoe where our family hangs out. And it's like we're sitting and we're like, this is it. This is perfect for us. I don't want this to ever change. This little vacation that we're having, this is what we want. And so, but obviously, at some point you have to say, okay, we have to move on past this and find other happiness. And I think that's where we go to, where we say the change could create a happier, more fulfilling life than we're even aware of.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if we believe in heaven, then we have even more reason to believe that the change will be for the better.
That gets us into the theological aspect when we talk about the change that happens when we reach our final days on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Is we have to think about the next change.
Yes.
And that all comes, well, then we're getting into a much deeper discussion then. We're talking about the belief in the higher being.
And hopefully, if we believe in the change and in the afterlife, then it's going to affect the choices and the changes we make today.
How so?
Well, if I believe in Judgment Day and I believe that everything that I've done and left undone is going to come up and be evaluated, then I might make some different choices today.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, because if you know you're going to be facing that throne of judgment, which we're all going to face.
That's what I believe.
It's going to be a tough day.
Yeah. And then that there is reward for those who live a godly life.
Right.
Then that's going to motivate me to make other changes.
Right.
To find out, okay, the Lord, you created me. What is it you put me on this planet for?
Mm-hmm.
And I find that that also gives my life so much meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a psychological truth. Whether you use Christianity or another belief system to give meaning to your life, mm-hmm. it really ups the quality of happiness and satisfaction.
We've talked about that before. It's not enough to, you know, happiness comes and happiness goes.
Pleasure is not enough. There's got to be a higher purpose.
And you have to lead a meaningful life. And sometimes when you think about that, you say, gosh, I hope you have a happy life. You know, I don't even know if I would, that doesn't really mean much, does it?
Yeah, the way that, and I'm trying to think of the guy's name, starts with an S. I think the guy at the University of Pennsylvania who is Selig,
yes,
S-E-L-I-G, his definition of happiness, remember, he went into this without any preconceptions of what the surveys and the research would show. And he found out that the first level was just pure pleasure, but that got old.
Mm-hmm.
The second level was engagement, and that was better, where you get lost in the activity. And then the third level was sacrificial altruism and, excuse me, living for a higher cause brought more happiness and satisfaction to people, according to their own reporting, than anything else. And he said in one of the TED Talks that I watched, frankly, he was very surprised because that's not the word on the street. The word on the street is if you sacrifice and you live altruistically, you're going to be miserable and people will take advantage of you, but people who actually live that out report the opposite.
Hmm.
They have more of a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment and joy than those who don't pursue that.
So when people come up to you and talk about resisting change, it seems to me, we only have about another minute left in the show, it just seems to me when people talk about that, people need to see.
Change is already happening.
It's happening anyway. You can't really prevent it.
You can't. You're not God. You can't stop it.
Right.
The only thing you can do is direct the change in an area that you would find beneficial.
It has to do with, it's one of the ultimate cliches of all time, seeing the glass half empty or half full and saying, here's the glass that you're presented with. View it as you want to view it. And what do you see? And if you see the change as opportunity, as half full, then it could lead to something positive.
You know, and when you said that, I thought of an interview that I saw with Barbara Walters and Audrey Hepburn shortly before Audrey Hepburn died. And they were sitting by the ocean side, and Audrey had no makeup on, And Barbara Walters said, here you are in your 50s, you're dying of cancer. What do you want to say about your life? And she looked right at the camera and she said, there's one word that sums up my entire life, and that word is grace.
Grace.
She said it was all a gift. Wow. It's all a gift, and I'm very grateful.
Didi, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're out of time. We'll talk to you next time. So long.